This is the Freshwater Fishing Novice Podcast with Keith. Hey, everybody. It's the second episode. I'm going to go through and correct a couple things I misspoke about on the first episode. But let's see where we can go from. We'll start off with something else. I didn't really touch on reels, your fishing reels, last time. And for freshwater fishing novice, or a novice in general, a spinning reel is going to be the easiest. It's going to have less problems. You're going to be able to rerun line onto it. If you get a bird's nest, which is when all the line kind of comes off all funny and makes a big, what looks like a bird nest. But it's also easy to tune. If something comes loose, you can easily fix it. Usually there's screws. They're not too expensive, and you can get really pricey with spinning reels, but I think the most I spent on spinning reels, maybe $40, and that's what I consider a high-end spinning reel. When you're looking at spinning reels, something to note is line weight should be listed on the reel. Just like on your rod, it will be listed. It will also say the number of ball bearings. Well, what are ball bearings good for? They're good for making stuff that's metal move around. So the more bearings, the better, clearly. I'm just going from what I know about skateboarding. And the cheaper bearings suck. And more bearings, obviously. If you get a single bearing spinner, that thing's probably going to break at some point. But the higher you go up, the smoother the action on the reel when you're reeling it in. Let's see. There's a dial you'll notice if you're looking at the reel, a spinning reel, on the top. And you can turn it clockwise or counterclockwise. Clockwise tightens the drag. Counterclockwise loosens the drag. The drag is the force that is needed on the line to pull the line free, or it just kind of comes loose. It will unreel itself almost. So if it's too loose, you'll be able to pull it off with very little pressure. If you tighten it up all the way, you're going to snap line probably before you are able to get any good drag. The reason drag's good is if you catch a big fish and it pulls, you want it not to snap the line. You want it to pull line, you know, tire itself out. You reel in. Maybe it starts moving again, and you let it run until it gets tired. Then you reel in more. But you don't want the tension from the fish pulling to snap your line, because then you'll lose the fish. Not the goal. So that's a little bit about reels. A lot of reels... I noticed this was an issue one time when I bought a reel. I reel with my left hand, and I cast with my right hand. I bought a reel one time, and I went to set it up, and I'm at the water. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be sweet, brand new reel. And I put the reel, attached the reel to the rod, and I realized that the handle for turning it was where my right hand would have to use it. And I start swearing like crazy. Oh, no, no, no. Then I start looking at it, and I realize you can unscrew the opposite side of where the reel is, and that's basically a bolt that holds a handle on. So then you can just flip that mechanism around, so now it's a left spinning rod. So if you do make that mistake, don't freak out too much. I was able to fix that in probably like 2 minutes, not even. So that covers a little bit about reels. There's also some reels have this little switch on the bottom part, on the very bottom part of the reel. It's like this little switch, and you're like, I didn't know what that was for until I started messing with it. And one is so you have drag. The other one is just like a free spool where you can just pull a line out. And I'm not really sure what the upside to that is. But I always just keep it on drag, and just loosen or tighten my drag depending on what's happening with the fish. Sometimes I'll be reeling and I'm like, oh, I need to give this thing a little bit more drag, and I'll loosen it up before, you know, it decides, you know, it wants to, the line wants to fail. So that's a little bit about the reels. Let's get off of reels now. In the last episode, I mentioned polarized sunglasses, and then I kind of went on a, just off on a tangent real quick, which I tend to do, but, I said that red and yellow, like brighter colored lenses, are better for darker days. That was very inaccurate. It's actually the opposite. On a sunny day, red, yellow lenses, a bluebird day, red, yellow lenses. When it's really bright out, red and yellow, bright colors. You're going to see a lot of bright colors. It's really bright out. It makes sense. And then when it's darker, overcast, you want like a blue-green lens. It's darker. It's going to do everything I said in the last episode, but if you just flip the information with the lenses. So blue-green for overcast, you know, kind of cloudy days, and then red-yellow for like sunny, bluebird skies, stuff like that. Okay. Trying to think. Oh, what else? In listener question, I said, you're going to typically catch fish in the beginning and end of the season more than in the middle of the summer. Also inaccurate. I have an app that tracks the fish that I catch after I take a photograph. It's called Fish Brain. So you can take pictures, log your catches, and keep track of how many fish you catch. So what I realized was June is very slow. It starts to pick up in like April, May. But July, by far, is the most productive month of the year for me for fish. Hands down, I will catch all the fish. Well, not all of them, but you will catch more fish in July than any other month, at least as far as the Northeast is concerned. That's north of Connecticut. Let's see. So that's, July is important. What I'm doing at this point, I'm trying to plan fishing trips for this coming year. Not when or where, well, not when, but I am trying to figure out where I want to go. So I'm planning on doing a couple trips where I'm car camping, truck camping for 2 or 3 days, and fishing during the day. So I'm looking at where, you know, in Maine and New Hampshire, and possibly Vermont if I want to get over there, maybe upstate New York, but I'm going to be looking at campgrounds that are on bodies of water, so I don't have to drive. Basically, I'll just load my kayak in the water and go out first thing in the morning. So what I'm doing is kind of just researching campgrounds. Then I kind of open it up on the map, and I figure on Google Maps, and I look where that is. And I'm like, okay, well, here's the bodies of water. Then I research the bodies of water on, say, if I was looking in Maine at a campsite and I found a body of water. I'd go on Maine government website. I'd look up that body of water. I'd research what kind of species are in the water. I'd, you know, let's, what else? You'll be able to find depth charts. Because they'll show the body of water on the government site, and it will actually tell you it's 5 feet here, it's 6 feet here, it's 20 feet here. It will show you the depth range, so you know how deep the water is, which allows you to understand how long you're going to want to let your bait sink, or you know, before it hits the bottom, which is very helpful. But state government websites are very helpful in, one, researching bodies of water once you've found them on Google Maps. It will give you the name and stuff, so you can research that. It will tell you restrictions, which I was actually correct about. And then it will tell you the species, so you can kind of, oh, I don't want to go here, they don't have any bass. Or this place is known for yellow perch, sweet, I'm in. Or this place is filled with chain pickerel. Forget those things, I hate those things. Yeah. So that's a little bit about what I'm doing right now. Kind of taking notes. Figure out where I want to go, you know, bigger lakes, smaller lakes, ponds, streams, also on the government site, they will inform you. They have a stocking schedule, which they post. So you know, oh, this body of water got stocked. If it gets stocked, you want to give it a little bit of time for those fish to acclimate, because they're going to be a little bit in shock when they first get in that body of water. So you're going to want to maybe go a week or two afterwards, till they've settled in and they're kind of figuring out their surroundings. You don't want to, if you go too soon right after stocking, they're just going to be confused and hidden and just in shock, really. So yeah, that's something to be aware of when you're looking at stocking and fishing and da 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 da. Yeah, let's see, what else did I screw up on? I can't remember what else I messed up on. Times of the year, July. Early and late in the day is always good. Yeah, so I wonder if I should talk about braided line. You're not going to want to start off with braided line. I think I already said this. You're going to want to do monofilament or fluorocarbon line. It's relatively cheap. It stretches. Braid line doesn't really stretch, but it's got a higher strength test. But at the same time, if you start snapping braid like crazy, it's going to really make you angry because you're blowing money. So monofilament's really cheap. You can get a lot of it for less than $5, $10. And usually what I do is I'll spool my line. I won't even put what is called a leader on, which is, say you have a 10-pound line on your reel. You want to put a lighter pound test leader on. So when, if you're going to break off, you don't break off that actual line, like the 10-pound line. You want to break off the 4-pound line, because it's cheaper. You can just try tie on an 18-inch leader real easy. I found that to be a giant pain in the butt. So what I do instead is just reel all the line on I want, usually six pounds, 2 pounds depending on the rod, 2-pound test, and if I end up losing a little bit of line, whatever. I can always reel it again. I'll bring an extra spool of line just in case I run out, which is yet to happen. So usually I just keep trimming and trimming, and you know, if you notice it gets low, you might want to just pull off the line and, you know, really low, pull off your line and re-rig your reel up. So that's what I do with line. Let's see, what else can I say? I think that might be it for today. This might be a shorter episode because I just wanted to get it out. I was having a lot of issues trying to get to 30 minutes like I did in my first podcast because I was like, oh man, I got to make all these corrections. I'm also trying to do this in my car because I've tried to do the second podcast for the fourth time, and I was like, I just need to get something out so people know I'm still here and I'm still making podcasts, because it's ridiculous that I haven't put another podcast out. You know, 1 week went by, another week went by. I'm like, I got to get this thing out. So this is the second podcast, not quite as long as the first one. Just basically touched on some stuff. Depending on where you're at, I should warn everyone, be careful of ticks. I got a tick bite last year. I didn't even notice it. And I kind of noticed like a day or two afterwards. And I'm like, oh, I got a tick. And I pulled it out, and the head of the tick stayed in my leg. I waited 2 days, and all of a sudden, I had this black spot. It was bright, or it was just not bright. It was a black spot, like in a circle, right around the tick bite. And it wasn't getting bigger, but it wasn't getting better. I waited maybe 5 days before I went to the urgent care, and they gave me medicine, but I definitely got bit by a tick with Lyme disease, so hopefully that won't affect me too bad down the line. You should be aware of ticks. I don't like putting on a lot of gear when it's hot out, but just make sure you're checking yourself constantly. If you're walking through a lot of brush and shit, it's very dense in New England where there's a lot of trees and bushes and stuff. So you're kicking through brush and stuff, and you wouldn't notice because you're getting scratched up, but you could have a tick on you. So always check yourself, brush yourself down, If you can wear like longer socks. I was wearing pants when it happened, so it doesn't matter if you're wearing pants or not. They can still get up in there. Those ticks like to crawl around and shit. So watch out for ticks. Be careful of that, guys. I guess one thing I haven't said, carry in, carry out. This comes from backpacking and camping, and just don't, anything you bring in, like fishing line, tackle, anything, make sure you bring it out with you. Don't leave it there. Don't leave a bunch of line laying on the ground. Don't leave used up plastics on the ground. Don't leave anything, because don't leave trash, don't leave cigarette butts, beer cans, don't leave any of that shit, because no one wants to see that when they're, one, trying to enjoy nature, two, trying to fish, and then there's just a bunch of shit everywhere. It's, you're not doing anyone any favors. You're making yourself look really bad, and if you get caught by anyone, even a fisherman, they're probably not going to be happy with you. They're going to give you a hard time. That being said, you should also, what am I doing? Oh, pick up trash if you see it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times in my back pocket, I'll have a plastic bag. So if I see crap on the, you know, laying around, I pick it up. And once you start doing that, you might start noticing lures. And you might be able to get some free lures out of that. I found lures in trees. I found, different things. You know, a cool hook or some weighted stuff. You know what I mean? You might find some really cool stuff. But keep an eye out for that. You're also picking up the trash, making it a little bit better for everyone. Also, with your old beat-up worm or plastics, if they get chewed up or they get messed up, you shouldn't worry about that. You shouldn't throw them out, because fish like wounded bait. So if the bait looks all beat up, like it's been chewed on, they're probably going to hit on that. They're going to think it's a beat up worm. Oh, this worm's wounded, I better eat it. So they're going to hit that. So don't think it's all used up because it doesn't look perfect. Fish aren't concerned with that. So alright guys, I think that's it for my second episode. I almost made it to the 20 minute mark, but yeah, I'll try to be a little bit more regular with these podcasts. And you've been listening to Keith, the Freshwater Fishing Novice Podcast. And I'll talk to you next time. Thanks a lot for listening, guys.